It's quite all right. That is quite all right. Good morning and happy Father's Day. It's good to be here with you. Please, yes, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. And we're going to dig into the last beatitude of Pastor Shipe's series on the Sermon on the Mount. I'll be honest, I feel just a little weird and awkward standing up here right now because this is Pastor Shipe's series and he is sitting right there. I asked him yesterday, I was like, do you want to preach? He said, no, you got it. So I think this is the first time, actually, that you've actually been in the room when I've been standing up here. And so I'm not sure how good I feel about that, just to be honest, but, okay. Look forward to that on Tuesday morning. Anyway, it is good to have you back, you and your family. For those of you that didn't know, him and his family were down all week at Camp Alpine down at Appalachian Bible College in West Virginia. And he had a great week speaking at camp down there. He was telling me about it yesterday. Lord, doing a lot of things in the young people's lives. We're thankful for that. It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back as well, Connie. So, let's jump into the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. The Sermon on the Mount is a sermon that Jesus Christ preached. It's almost as if he was answering, it's almost as if someone asked him, what does the authentic, real Christian life look like? Jesus, can you tell me? And it's like he sat down, he said, sir, would you please sit down and I will tell you, I will explain to you what the real Christian authentic life looks like and what it is. And then he goes on to give this great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And the first thing he does as he preaches this sermon is he lays the groundwork and he says it is so important that you understand and that you realize how important it is that you live a blessed life while you're here in this world. You live a life that is blessed by the Lord. And we learned a few weeks ago from Pastor Shipe, and he was exactly right, that this word blessed that is used in these Beatitudes that the Lord starts with here, the word blessed actually means approval of God. That's what it means. And it's so important that we live lives that are approved by God. And he goes down and lists these Beatitudes out. I'll just go through a couple of them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You have a spirit that says, I understand that I have nothing to offer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come before him and I admit that and I say, Lord, I have nothing. I am just a sinner in need of a Savior. Will you accept me? And Jesus Christ says, I approve of that attitude. And yes, I accept you. And yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God says, I approve of the heart that mourns over sin, that is sorrowful about sin. I approve of that. And I will allow you to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the list goes on. God says, I approve of these things about you. I stamp my approval on your life when you live this way. That's what it is, okay? Now, before I move on here, I want to talk to you just for a second about just another meaning that's in this word, blessed. Yes, it does mean the approval of God. It does mean that. But it also carries this meaning with it as well. It carries the meaning of inward joy, happiness, and satisfaction. In other words, when I live my life for the glory of God, I walk in obedience with Him. He is glorified in my life, and I'm walking closely with Him. Whenever He stamps His approval on me and how I am living for Him, whenever I look like Jesus Christ, that His approval brings with it that inward joy and satisfaction that all of us are longing for in our lives. It doesn't come from driving a nice car. It doesn't come from owning a nice house. It doesn't come from popularity. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they do not bring joy and satisfaction. Only a life lived for God's glory will bring that. And he talks about it in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11, and he warns the people about this. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What he was saying there is, here is how I get my joy. This is Jesus talking. Here's how I get my joy. I get it from living for the glory of the Father. That's how I get it. And he's saying, you get it the exact same way. There is no other reason for joy. There is no other way to get joy. It is only by living your life for the glory of God. That's it. That is it. And so it's important to understand that that is in there whenever he says, blessed are those who do this. Blessed is the man. Blessed are those. And goes down through the Beatitudes. That's what it brings with it. The approval of God and inward joy, happiness, and satisfaction from the approval of God. Now, I said all that, I guess, to set up for the message this morning. I want to preach to you a message this morning entitled, Joy in Suffering. And the last beatitude that Jesus brings up is all about the suffering of Christians. That's what it's all about. No matter what suffering, and it's important that we understand this suffering through the eyes of Jesus Christ, through biblical eyes, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we suffer in this life, it is so important that we must find the strength to rejoice in suffering. And we're going to talk about this last beatitude here as soon as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at verse number 10 as we get started here with this. Joy in suffering. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And dear Lord, I just want to ask you one more time that you would indeed give power to this message, give power to your words. I just want to ask that your Holy Spirit would encourage hearts, convict hearts if need be, but that you would change us all to be more like yourself today through your words and through this message. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's talk about this last beatitude. I want to talk to you here for a minute, and if you could control the PowerPoint back there, Alan, I'd appreciate that. I want to talk to you today about four reasons for joy in suffering. Let's go to number one. First reason for joy in suffering, as we look at verse number 10, is the suffering life is a blessed life. The suffering life is a blessed life. And verse number 10, we're just going to read the first part of it, and the Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Hopefully this can be a great encouragement to most of you, that there is actually a suffering that we go through in this life as Christians that God actually blesses. Whenever I live my life for His glory and I suffer and I suffer in a certain way, the Lord actually says, I approve of your life. I approve of this right here. And I like to call this kind blessed suffering. Now, let me not be misunderstood. There are kinds of suffering out there that do not qualify as this blessed kind of suffering, okay? And let me just illustrate it this way. You have finally come to the end of your rope, all right? You've gotten there. You're at the end of your rope, and you have finally worked up enough courage to do something that you have been threatening to do for the last 10 years of your life, all right? And you actually work up the courage, and you do it. You actually level with your mother-in-law. And oh, did that ever feel good? I mean, 10 years of frustration and stuff just going out in the open, and oh, man, did I ever let her have it, all right? Well, she was a little bit quicker with her hand than you thought she might be. And she takes this right hand right here, and she gives you a big old right cross, just right there. But she doesn't stop there. She runs out the door, slams it behind her, gets in her car, and she immediately calls her lawyer. And that day, you are written right out of the will, gentlemen. You're gone. You are absolutely gone. Now, that was a little bit more than you expected. And so that night, you get down on your knees before the Lord and you say, Lord, man, I really hope you're paying attention to what I have going on down here, because life is not all that great right now, and I feel like I am really suffering right now. All right? Now, that is an example of suffering that does not qualify as blessed suffering, okay? You're not going to get anywhere there, all right? There is a lot of suffering that we, because of our sin, bring on ourselves. And when that's the case, it does not qualify as blessed suffering. Notice he doesn't stop whenever he says, blessed are those who are persecuted. He doesn't stop there. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What Jesus means here is whenever I is when I live my life for the glory of God. I walk in obedience with Him. I walk close with Him in a loving relationship. Not perfectly, not totally. The book of 1 John is very clear that while I still live in this life, I will not be perfect. I will still sin from time to time. But I am striving for that. I am being sanctified all the time, walking with God, spending time with Him, learning to love Him more, and learning to be obedient more and more to Him. And whenever I am like that, He places His stamp of approval on my life. He says, I approve of the way you're living. You're bringing me glory. And because of that, sometimes my life will be a direct confrontation to the world. And a direct and people who are of the world and living for the world, it will confront them in their tracks. And praise the Lord, sometimes my testimony, that kind of a testimony, will be a wonderful thing, and people will respond very positively to it, and that can be a great testimony, that can be a great way to bring people to Christ. But sometimes people will not respond positively to it. And when that happens, I will suffer for the sake of righteousness. I will suffer for standing up and for believing in what the Lord believes in and for my life looking like Jesus Christ. It will come. Satan also does not like it when I live that way. Job, back in the Old Testament, found that out very clearly. And Satan came after him and he suffered a great deal for the cause of righteousness. But it will come. And it's so important that I look at it through biblical eyes. When this suffering comes, when I have to suffer for living for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so important that I understand that it is not a time to get down. It's not a time for me to get depressed. It's a time for me to, listen to me, to rejoice. Because I have the approval of God. And what a great thing that is. Whenever God says, I approve of your life. Way to go. Keep going. Keep going. I'm watching. You're doing a great job. I love the way you're living. I approve of what's going on. That is in itself a reason for joy. Amen? That's the way we have to look at it. We must rejoice in suffering. And we can because we have the approval of God when we suffer for righteousness' sake. Now let's skip down to verse number 11 and see how Jesus gets a bit more detailed about this. You know, how many of you, this is a natural thought for you. How many of you think about it this way, that man, whenever I live my life for the glory of God, I'm walking with Him, I'm being obedient to Him, and we're close, and you know, I just know that He's really being glorified in my life. How many of you think this way? Whenever suffering comes and you start to, and it starts to not go real well, you're just like, oh man, this is a great day. This is a day for me to rejoice. I mean, bring it on, right? No, all right, no. That's oftentimes not how we look at it. I'll be honest, it's not how I look at it most times. But I need to think biblically, and I need to understand what Jesus says about this, okay? It is going to happen, okay? And it is a time to rejoice. It is a time to rejoice. And Jesus takes two more verses here, which is interesting because the other Beatitudes, Jesus, I think, takes about one verse apiece. And he's just, you know, blessed is so-and-so, blessed, about one verse, just nailing him out, boom. And he gets down to this one, and I wonder if he knew that we would need a bit more encouragement here with this one. Because this one's not, maybe arguably, this one is probably the most unnatural, maybe. And he said, I'm going to take just a little bit more time here to explain this. And I'm going to take just a little bit more time to encourage you in this. Because blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we're going to come back to verse number 10 here in just a little bit. But let's go to verse number 11, and we're going to see another reason to rejoice whenever we are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Point number two today, and another reason for rejoicing, is suffering is normal. See how quiet it is? Suffering is normal, believe it or not. Suffering is actually normal in the life of a believer. It actually is. You'll hear this quite often. And you hear this in movies and stuff. Whenever you ask somebody, What do you want out of life? What is it exactly that you want out of life? You'll hear this answer all the time, and you hear it constantly as people will say, what do I want out of life? I just want to be able to live a normal life. That's all I want. Ta-da! Here it is. All right? Here it is. This is the normal life. Now, I don't say that to say that as you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient and have a great loving relational walk with Him, okay? What I am not saying is that you can expect suffering every day of your life, every second, every week, every month, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Jesus Himself, whenever He was here on earth, He went through suffering, obviously, but He did not go through suffering all of the time. There were times in His life when there was no suffering involved. There were times in His life whenever He was just downright popular. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But whenever we live our lives for the glory of God, it is normal to go through times of suffering for righteousness' sake. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said this to His disciples. If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. He said in John 15, verse 20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. Suffering will be a normal part of life. Let's look at Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when... Let's stop right there. Blessed are you when... He doesn't use the word if. He uses the word when. Somewhere, sometime, someplace, probably when you least expect it, as you live your life for the glory of God, it will come. It's only a matter of time. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, indeed all, get that word, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, you can get away from this. It is easy to get away from this. All you have to do is one thing. Now, you will go through other kinds of suffering, don't get me wrong, but you can get away from this kind of suffering. All you have to do is not live for the glory of God. That's all you have to do. You don't have to worry about what He says. You don't have to worry about what the Bible says. You don't have to worry about what He thinks and living in obedience to Him. Pretty soon, you'll start to blend in with the world, and that's just the way it'll be, and you can get away from this kind of blessed suffering. Other kinds of suffering will come, but you can get away from this if you want to. But the truth of the matter is, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Wow. What a contrast to how we think today. We don't think of this as normal a lot. We think, and maybe it's just because of the health, wealth, and prosperity that kind of preaching that we hear, and it's kind of been infiltrated into our culture. But oftentimes we think of this as weird almost. Yeah. Whenever I'm living for the glory of God and suffering comes, we think to ourselves, it's not supposed to be that way. Something's wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. It's not. This is weird. It's not weird. Okay? Don't think it's weird. Because it's not weird. And Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He says, and I love the way he says this, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. And then he says this, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Don't put suffering for righteousness' sake in the same category as you would put a car driving down the road and all of a sudden it stops in the middle of the road and five clowns jump out of it and start dancing around the car. If you would see that, if you would see a car do that and five clowns jump out and start running around the car, you would say this, you would say that is so, yeah, weird, crazy, strange. Those guys are on something. Okay? That's what you would think. Don't put this in that same category. When your life glorifies the Lord, Satan does not like it, and neither will some people, because your life will be a direct confrontation to the world. And when it is reacted to negatively, suffering will sometimes come and will have to be endured by you and by me. And it is so important that we look at it through the eyes of God. It's a time for rejoicing. It's normal. It's normal. God is pleased. He places his stamp of approval on my life and counts me as worthy to suffer for his sake. That's the truth of the matter. Let's rejoice in our suffering. It's so important that we look at it that way. Point number three, and the next reason for rejoicing in our suffering, for joy in suffering, is simply this. The reward is great. We're going to look at this in verse number 11 and 12. The reward is great. Now I know, well, first of all, let me just read it to you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Now, there is an attitude, and I understand this, there is an attitude, especially in kind of our Christian circles today, that kind of paints a picture as if I do something because I have a reward giving me incentive, that it kind of becomes less than noble. You ever notice that? Like, people kind of look at that a little bit different. They're like, that's kind of less than noble now. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it that way at all. I believe that Jesus, whenever he wrote these words down, he's perfect. And when he sees fit to give an incentive to me and you, to give an incentive that whenever suffering comes, here's an incentive to endure through this, okay? Yes, it's great that you live for my glory. And by the way, I understand that way of thinking, and I know that we don't want rewards to be the sole thing that's driving us to do the right thing. I understand that. I get that. However, if Jesus, who is perfect, put this in place as an incentive, it is not wrong for us to look at this as an incentive whenever suffering comes to us and allow that to help us endure through these things, okay? I'll just be honest. I want the rewards, okay? I flat out want them. And if you're so dead set on not accepting yours, you can give them to me, okay? That's not going to be a problem. You go ahead and I hate to see your rewards go to waste, so don't let that happen, okay? But this is a reason for joy. Listen to me. This is a reason for joy that as I go through these things, as I suffer for the sake of righteousness, that I can look toward the rewards that God is going to give me. Great is your reward, he says. So rejoice in our suffering for righteousness' sake. It's a great thing to keep in mind. Now, I want to just for the next few minutes, boy, am I getting hot up here. I'm going to just for the next few minutes, Jesus lays out here three different kinds of persecution that you and I can expect as Christians living for him, that you and I can expect to face in our lives. So they don't catch you by surprise, and they don't catch me by surprise. So we're not caught off guard. And I just want to look at these three kinds and just explain what they are. Jesus went through all three of these. You may not go through all three of these in your life. There are some Christians who have and who still do. But here's what they are. Let's read Matthew 5, verse 11. And the Bible says, blessed are you when others revile you. The first word we have is revile. And it's the Greek word onedizo. And it carries the idea of verbal abuse. If you decide to glorify the Lord with your life and live in obedience to him, you can expect, this is probably the most popular one, you can expect at some point in your life that verbal abuse may come. And it does come. Verbal abuse can come in the workplace when I decide to take an ethical stand. When I refuse maybe to lie for a coworker. Teenagers. Verbal abuse and college age and college and career. Verbal abuse can come in school when I decide that I am actually going to be obedient and respectful to my teacher. Let me tell you something. I know it's not fun, and I know it's hard, but young people, let them call you a teacher's pet. I know it's not fun, and I know it's hard, but here's the truth of the matter. Here's what you need to understand, that their opinion of you matters that little that they're not even worth asking. the only opinion that matters for you is the opinion of one, and that you live for His glory. And whenever that suffering comes from you living for His glory a little bit, when you have to suffer a little bit, He says, I approve of you. I am pleased with what you're doing. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm writing it all down. Your reward is great. I'm not missing anything. I'm writing it down. I'm going to put that away where I know exactly where it is. And when you get up here, great is your reward. We can rejoice in that. He takes care of His own. Verbal abuse can come. The next word is persecute. And it comes from the Greek word dioko. It carries, and this one's a little bit different, carries the idea of physical abuse and harassment. Some have been passed over for a promotion because their boss is uncomfortable with their Christian beliefs and their Christian ethics. Some people are simply for being a follower of Christ and standing for His righteousness, saying Jesus is the only way. Some people are disowned from their family. Some people, simply for that, are having all of their belongings taken away. They lose their house. They lose everything that they own, simply for saying Jesus is the only way, suffering for righteousness' sake. Some people are thrown in prison. Some people are beaten. Some people are tortured. Some people, some Christians, give the ultimate sacrifice and actually give their lives for the sake of righteousness. Are you ready? If that kind of persecution would come to you, what would happen? What would you do? Are you ready? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those. And God says, I'm writing it down. I know what you're going through. I see everything. I know it. I know it. I know it. I'm not missing a thing. Here it is. Here it is. I know exactly what you've gone through. When you get up here, great is your reward in heaven. We can rejoice in that. The last one, false accusations. Aren't false accusations hard to handle? They really are. And I believe, and let me just say this as a side note. I believe why they're hard to handle is because we are just so helpless when it comes to false accusations. They oftentimes take place behind the individual's back. Very, very rarely do you find someone being falsely accused face to face, because that person can usually defend themselves in a very, very good way and actually prove that what is being said is not the truth at all. So these things often take place behind the back of an individual. And we are so helpless when it comes to this. People are saying, hey, man, you live your life for the glory of God, and people don't like it sometimes. And they're like, you know, you're no better than me. I need to trim you down to size just a little bit. And let me spread some things. Sadly, this can happen in our own Christian circles. And we're helpless. We can't make them stop. We can't make the people told these false accusations believe anything different than what they're told. And God says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I understand what's going on. I understand how you're living your life for me. I understand how you're being obedient to me. And that's why this suffering is coming on. Don't worry about it. Here, look at me, look at me. I'm writing it all down. I'm writing it up. I got it. I got it. I got it. When you get up here, great is your reward in heaven. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. Great is our reward in heaven. Jesus went through this. Matthew 11, verse 19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at Him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Ladies and gentlemen, they said that about Jesus. And He was perfect. And they still said that about Him. You and I are not perfect. All the more easier for people to be able to spread things about us. But don't worry. Understand the truth that God sees the truth. And Jesus says here, when you suffer on My account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. At camp one year, I heard an evangelist tell this story that is a true one about him. And I thought this was just the greatest perspective on this that I had ever heard in my life. He was at a meeting somewhere. He was at a church somewhere preaching, and I don't remember where he was. But he was preaching somewhere, and he knew that there were people sitting there in the congregation that did not like him and also did not like what he had to say. Well, he said the service came to an end, and the Holy Spirit was working in some people's lives, and they were coming forward and making different things right with the Lord in their life, and they needed another counselor. So he said, I hopped down and started to pray with an individual. And he said, all of a sudden, somebody comes up to me as I'm praying with this person and taps me on the shoulder. And he said, I turned to him. I said, yeah, what? And they said, hey, I just think you should know what this group of people is saying about you over here. They're not saying very nice things. And he said, right at first, he said, I just said, you know what? I really don't care to know what they're saying. I really don't. Don't worry about it. Well, the person insisted that he should know. And so finally he said, okay, fine. What are they saying? And I don't remember what it was that they said, but I do remember this. It was not good. And to be honest, I don't believe it was even true what they were saying about him. And he said, you know, the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me a piece about it. I felt this joy welling up in my heart. And he said, I looked right at the person and I said, good. And the guy, you know, what do you mean good? And he said, I had to hold my tongue, but he said, I just wanted to yell back there to the people that were in that group saying all these kinds of things. He said, I just wanted to yell, hey, keep talking, because everything you say is getting me more stuff up in heaven. So just keep right on talking, please. Just keep right on going. And he said, I just had this sense of joy that, man, I was suffering a little bit for the cause of Christ, for his righteousness' sake. That's exactly what was going on. He said, I went home and I told my wife what had happened. And he said, my wife looked at me and said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, nothing. I'm going to go for a run. And he said, I started running up and down the road. And he said, I was just filled with joy. I was just filled with joy. And he said, I started talking to the Lord just like, Lord, oh man, I love you. I can't believe you've allowed me to do that. I can't wait to come up there with you and see what those airheads got for me. Maybe it was something great. I don't know what it was, but they got me something. Thank you for taking care of me in that way. It's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven. Whenever you suffer for the sake of righteousness and the cross of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth. Before I move on, let me just ask this one question. Could it be you by any chance? Are you the one causing people to get rewards in heaven? Are you the one downplaying Christianity? Are you the one making fun and mocking other people because they stand for what is right for the cross of Calvary? Let me just talk to you for a minute. If that's you, you're in a bad spot. You're in a bad spot. Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says simply this, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? When people try and stand for what's right, do you make fun? Do you downplay what they're trying to do? And I want to be very clear and say, look, I understand that it could just be you've fallen into the rut of sin here a little bit. 1 John is clear that we are not without sin. I understand that. But stand back and check yourself for a minute. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ himself? If you are, you will never take part in the greatest reason for all children of God to rejoice in suffering, which is this next one. And it simply is the amazing promise that we have. And let's go back, and this is our final one. Let's go back to verse number 10. And this will be all. And the Bible says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Church family, the citizens of heaven are the ones who shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible teaches that when we suffer, listen to me, when we suffer for living our lives in a way that God approves, whenever we glorify the Lord as His children, we obey Him, we walk close with Him in a loving relationship. Oh, we don't do it perfectly. We sin sometimes. We have to make that right with Him. But we are constantly coming back and are in the sanctification process and glorifying the Lord with our lives. When we suffer for the sake of righteousness, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, listen to this, verses 27 through 29, it says this, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." When you suffer for the cause of righteousness, for the sake of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and stand for what He stands for, and you have to endure suffering for that, the Bible says that that is a clear sign that you are indeed a child of God. Maybe you say, "I don't need that sign." Well, it is a sign. It is a sign. And I'm glad that that maybe you didn't need to hear that, but just in case you needed to hear that, that is the truth of the matter. You were created for God and to glorify His name. You were not created for this world and to live life for yourself. You could not live the life that glorifies the Lord. You could not live that way if you did not belong to Him. But because you belong to Him, you live. You have the power to live to glorify Him. And God approves of you when you endure suffering for the sake of righteousness. John 15, verses 18 through 19 says this, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world will hate you." We will be hated and made to suffer by the world because we are not of this world. We are of another kingdom. And that is the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful promise and what a reason to rejoice in our suffering. I'm living my life in a way that meets the approval of God, and it is a direct confrontation to the world. So I will suffer, but I can rejoice in my suffering, for I have the approval of God, who will bring satisfaction and joy to my soul, and I am an heir of the kingdom of heaven where I will spend eternity with my heavenly Father. Christian, rejoice in your suffering, for you have the blessing of God. Let's close in prayer. And before I pray, and if I could have just the pianist come forward, I just want to say a couple things right before we close. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Did the Lord touch your life in any way this morning? Have you not maybe been looking at this thing through biblical eyes? Maybe you've suffered a lot. And maybe you've been thinking, man, is this even worth standing for what the Lord stands for? It's hard sometimes. But maybe you've seen for the first time tonight that it's because God has His approval on your life. It's because you're living for Him. It's because He's pleased. It's normal. The rewards are great. And for His children, He has promised a place in heaven with Him, the heavenly kingdom. Do you need to switch your thinking about that a little bit? And instead of getting down, instead rejoice whenever it comes. It's a reason to rejoice, for the Lord is pleased with you. Let's just have the instruments play. And just have a, you know, just go ahead and have a conversation right there in your seat with the Lord. And let me ask this. Are you causing other Christians to suffer? Are you ashamed in any way of Jesus Christ? Do you find yourself giving in to peer pressure and end up mocking those who are trying so hard to stand for the cause of righteousness? If that's you, let me just say, maybe you need to make that right with the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been living that way. I've been ashamed of you in some aspects. Forgive me and help me to stand for you now. And I know I'll have to suffer in turn for that somewhat. But I want your approval. Maybe you're ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let me say this, because you have never accepted his forgiveness. You aren't one of his children. If that's you, you can do that today. You can come forward and take care of that today. I'll just ask the instruments to play for another minute or two. And if you'd like to come forward, make things right with the Lord, or talk to someone about how you can receive him as your Savior, you can do that now. If this is for you, please come if the Holy Spirit's leading you. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We thank you for encouraging us in this way, how you saw fit to put this in your words, that there is joy when we suffer for your sake. Thank you for letting us know that it will come, but that through your strength we can rejoice, because it comes when we glorify your name, when we live for you, when we look like you. And Father, when we endure, great is our reward in heaven. We thank you so much for these truths. We ask that you would help us just to apply them to our lives and to live like this as we go forward. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.